Domenica Ruta grew up in a working-class Italian town north of Boston. Her mother, Kathy, a notorious figure in this place, was a drug addict and sometime dealer whose life swung between welfare and riches, whose highbrow taste was at odds with her base appetites. With or Without You is the story of Domenica Ruta's unconventional coming of age. It's a darkly hilarious chronicle of a misfit 90s childhood and the necessary and painful act of breaking away and of overcoming her own addictions and demons in the process. It's a pleasure to welcome Domenica Ruta to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It is a delight to have you here. It is so amazing to read this book and to realize the harrowing story that you tell in such an even way. And I'm curious as to how long it took you to be able to tell the story with such precision and not be tapped on the shoulder that, oh my God, this was my life.
It's a surreal process writing memoir. There were times when I was writing where I would forget that these were things that happened to me. You know, I'd write about witnessing such violence and you know, these screaming fights with my mother. And as I'm writing it, I'm trying to capture the details, the smell of her breath, the light in the room. And I'd forget that, this was happening to me. And then afterwards, when I was finished writing particularly traumatic scenes, I would just pass out for about 3 hours and then wake up and reread what I had written.
I can imagine. Your mom was very volatile as you grew up. And this isn't yelling and screaming volatile. This is kicking in the walls and turning over the refrigerator volatile.
There were moments of when it got that bad. Mostly it was screaming, but there were, you know, those singular moments that are unforgettable in my, you know, in my life of bashing in a car windshield with an iron poker from a fireplace or whacking the phone against the counter. Yeah, there were some pretty dramatic moments.
So you're a kid and you're a normal kid and you're going to school. And at what point do you say, I'm not like the other kids. This is off.
Well, I think so many kids, especially creative, sensitive, writerly types, feel like they're different anyway.
Sure.
Maybe radio types also have felt this way.
Oh, I think so.
You know, and so it's hard to pinpoint exactly why. And it didn't occur to me that, you know, my family was part of the reason. I just thought that I was a misfit and had kind of accepted that really sublimely at a young age and sort of like, well, I'm not like everybody else, but I'm having a good time, so it's okay. It wasn't until I was a late bloomer, it wasn't until later in high school and college that I realized that I come from a broken home, I come from a dysfunctional family, that, you know, other people's mothers weren't putting a nickel bag of pot in their Christmas stocking and writing Love Santa. You know, like I was like, oh, this is a different experience that I'm having.
But there was a point, you know, in your young life, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there was a point in your young life where you were still embarrassed to have friends over.
I was, yes. I remember having a friend over in my first year of high school, and that she slept over once and never again. And it was because of the way my house looked, and it was really shaming and scary, but I was more than anything, I was angry at her snobbery, I think, rather than ashamed of my house. Like, what's your problem?
Your mother had big dreams. I mean, there was very much this dream aspect to not only your life, but with hers as well. You know, Harvard, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so at what point in this did you realize that the drugs were involved in her life?
Well, the Harvard, my mother took classes at Harvard Extension School, which is a fantastic continuing ed program with Harvard faculty. And it's just amazing and academically rigorous and challenging. And she worked really, really hard and got decent grades. And I was really proud of her, and she was really proud of herself. She was somewhat sober at that point. she was, you know, sort of on an upswing, a manic upswing, where she was working a lot, she was taking classes, and she was trying her hardest to live a somewhat healthy lifestyle. But that all came to an end when she quit school, she quit her job, she started doing more and more pills, and the pills led to heroin. And, so that was a brief period where it felt like we were both on the up and up. We were both upwardly mobile, and we were both going to achieve these big dreams. And then she gave up, and that was a heartbreaking thing to witness.
And normalcy for you is the people who are at your dining room table and who are sitting on the doorstep are dealers and abusers. These are the people that you're growing up with.
Yeah, they are. And I said this before. When you grow up in the jungle, you don't see tigers as such a strange species. They're just these are the people who are in our lives. In many ways, it was a great way to grow up because I'm not judgmental. When I see that drunk person on the subway, or when I see the junkie, nodding off on the back of the bus, I have compassion rather than contempt for these people because I've known them my whole life.
With that said, you get great grades and you're a good student, and then you leave that. You leave that environment. And what was that like? Is it incredible freedom, or is it a loss of a net?
It's a searing emotional experience, and I wish more people would talk about it. When you leave a life that you've known to pursue this bigger and brighter world with more opportunities, the guilt that comes with that, it's just the intense survivor's guilt, the fear of success, all of these things that follow you into this world where everyone else seems to be taking it for granted that you're getting a college education, and you know, and for you, this is a radical act, almost a rebellion.
Right.
And so it was liberating in some ways, but really painful in other ways.
So there's this opportunity where the door opens, and if you're on the outside looking in, where you can say, run, 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 you're now free to get away from this. Mm-hmm. But that isn't what happens. And because of that guilt, and because of these feelings, and how you're raised, your drug habit develops in high school. And ultimately coincides really with you starting to date and become a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which in many ways is a normal trajectory
for
American teenagers. But for me, I mean, it was clear from the beginning that there was nothing normal about the way I was not experimenting with drugs and alcohol. I was using them very deliberately. And the way you put that was so beautiful. You know, it's because for me, it's not run, run, run as fast as you can, now you're free. It was running with my head turned backwards, tripping and falling, always looking behind me.
Sure.
Saying, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? Should I come back? And stumbling and that, and then also returning home and as much as I could, and trying to balance both worlds and try to, keep a foot in both worlds and how difficult that was. But drinking and drugs, that was, I realized later after getting sober, that was my own mess that I made all by myself. That was my own disaster that I created, and that was nobody's fault but my own. And which was actually really empowering, and one of the most empowering things, realizations of my life, because it meant, if my disaster is my own, then my recovery is my own too. And that's the strength I got.
And I find that fascinating because it is a very... It would seem to me it would be easy to link and say, okay, well, the reason this is happening is because of the way I was brought up. It's because of my mother. It's because this
Absolutely
was,
not.
But you were very, these were two very different epiphanies for you of one, okay, I'm an addict and I have to get out of this. And then two, this is the relationship with my mom and I have to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very different. Of course, they're interconnected in that my mother gave me life. She is the life force that made me possible.
Sure.
And we're always going to be connected on a biological, mental, and spiritual level. But disconnecting from her was so important for me to realize what I'd become, and what I'd become was an alcoholic. And that was not because of her. That was my own choice to buy that bottle and refill that glass and then buy another bottle. And, you know, and it was a pretty powerful experience.
And you cut off contact with your mother completely.
I did, yes. That happened first, and then years later, I broke up with my most toxic addiction, which was to alcohol. But I felt like I had to get away from my mother first and really have that space and silence to learn, you know, how in control I was of my life and how out of control my drinking was.
Was there ever an expiration date on that, of cutting off the contact?
What do you mean?
In the sense of it was going to be permanent, or was it something that you said there will be a point where we can reconnect?
I miss her so much, and I would love to reconnect with her, and I'm working towards that. I don't know if and when it'll happen, but it's something I'm working on.
Do you feel a fragility in the sense that everything that you have gone through and everything that you have overcome that has worked so hard, you know, it's like losing weight in the sense of, you know, it's so hard to lose the weight and really easy to put it back on, in the sense of that you have all of this work that you've done, this incredible emotional work that you've done to break an addiction, which is, you know, arguably one of the hardest things in the world to do, that then to bring this very important person back in your life could also open up a floodgate.
Yeah, and that's why my friends have a really great philosophy, and it's one day at a time. And really, you can apply that to any life situation. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as reconciling with an estranged parent or confronting a powerful addiction. You can apply that to anything, from a kind of crappy job to a boring day at the post office, one day at a time. And just for today, I'm doing what I need to do today to be a sober, strong woman, to be of service to other people, to be a writer, to be a reader, to be a friend. And that's sort of all I can focus on at right now.
It is a beautiful memoir. It is entitled With or Without You. It is published by Spiegel & Graf. Domenica Ruta, I thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you so much for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, With or Without You, published by Spiegel & Graf. The Congressional Corner is next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.